The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Well, welcome back. Friday, March 15th, 2024. We made it to the end of the week. I am Seth Leibson. Mr. Bill, good to see you. David Dahl, my producer, good to see you. Miss Terry, wonderful having you and all the rest of you. Your barrier to entry is our phone number, 602-508-0960. If you'd like to call in or weigh in on anything on your mind, and try to revive fun Fridays around here. I know it's hard with all the pregnant news, but if you have something of fun or cultural interest, we're here for that too. Welcome to the Ides of March, the middle of the calendar, the day when Julius Caesar was augured to have been killed, and the day after Karl Marx died in 1883. Let's stick with that one for a moment. As John Hinderacher wrote, this should be a holiday. Marx performed the difficult feat of being wrong about everything. Most people are right about some things and wrong about others. That's the law of averages. But if you are an ideologue like Marx, and if your ideology is stupid, you can be wrong across the board. Marx's philosophy has served as pretext for sadists to seize control of governments around the globe, which is exactly what Marx intended. Marx was a bad man. Equally so in his private and public lives. He should be remembered only as an exemplar of how much damage a single-minded and hate-filled man can do. And set our youth into awfully odd directions, for they are still tempted and enthralled by him and his successors, be they Lenin or Mao or Che or Castro, or any other gallimaufry of his or their followers. Somehow, the body count of tens of millions, amounting to over 100 million deaths, killings, in his name and philosophy, is just an exhibit in the court of public opinion that human rights to be achieved must require human deaths, euphemized as something other than human so as to be acceptable, like eggs needing to be broken to achieve an omelet. We do that around here, don't we? We justify human death and killing by dehumanizing with euphemisms. Victims of communism are eggs to be cracked for an ultimate omelet. Or as Jesse Jackson pointed out, we dehumanized black people as slaves of the N-word to dehumanize them and thus be able to do anything we wanted to do with them as if they were cattle. He wrote that in an essay about abortion once where he said, dehumanized the unborn human child as a fetus so that without a pang of conscience, we could do anything we wanted to that as well. We call terrorists liberators. A few people in Western history are invoked more to justify killings than Karl Marx, but very few. And few people have been sanitized and detoxified and resurrected more than Karl Marx. The most popular and popularly invoked social movement in the past half decade was Black Lives Matter, a self-identified Marxist organization whose founders were proud to claim just as much. College campuses across the United States boast chapter after chapter and recruitment desk and table after recruitment desk and table with Karl Marx's images, face, and quotes. Earlier this year, the Socialist Revolution at ASU, it's an official group at Arizona State University, hosted the Lenin School, a weekend event that was promoted with a poster and image of Vladimir Lenin pointing to you or at you, asking, "Are you a communist?" It fell on the 100th anniversary of Lenin's death to commemorate that, to revivify his ideas and his work. The Socialist Revolution at ASU boasts a website telling us who they are. Quote, "The Socialist Revolution at ASU is a student club dedicated to reading and discussing Marxist classics such as those written by Marx, Engels, Lenin, Trotsky, and many more. We also have group discussions on general political and theoretical topics such as what is socialism, why we are Marxists." Perhaps Toni Morrison-like we should ask? They tell us who they are. Shouldn't we believe them? There's also the Students for Socialism Club at Arizona State University. They tell us who they are. Quote, a socialist revolutionary Marxist club. Our mission is to end capitalism and fight for socialism, close quote. Pause a moment. If you had a club at a campus that called itself the Trump Revolutionary Club or the Republican Trump Club, whose mission is to engage in revolution to fight for the Republican Party, would it make news in the Arizona Republic? How many people were killed again in the name of Marxist revolutions? Over 100 million. How many were killed in the name of Black Lives Matter in the course of half a year in America? 30. How many people were killed on January 6th, 2021? One, a supporter of Donald Trump's. We are much in need, or our students and children in America are much in need, of a great relearning. Right now, they are not being taught well. A violation of the ethics of the Bible as much as Crosby, Stills, and Nash. We are no longer feeding children George Washington and Thomas Jefferson. We are feeding them monsters we beatify. Take the magazine Teen Vogue. It says its main audience is preteen girls, 10, 11, and 12 years old. If you go to its website, you'll find article after article praising communism. I don't mean ideas one could call communist. I literally mean communism. They make no bones about it. Who is Karl Marx is the title of one story, and aside from its praise of Marx and communism, it interviews two teachers on how they teach communism in their classrooms, presumably so parents or other teachers might learn from them and do the same. You get all kinds of lessons from these teachers, including how violence is what gave birth to capitalism. That last paragraph in the article reads this way, quote, while you might not necessarily identify as a Marxist, socialist, or communist, you can still use Karl Marx's ideas to use history and class struggles to better understand how the current socio-political climate in America came to be, close quote. In other words, if the name Marx or the word communist is too hard to swallow, just use the ideas. How do you think that would work if I said, you know, if the word Nazi is too hard, just use Nazi ideas? Well, we don't have to think that way. We've spent a lot of time detailing how much our schools, museums, laws, and other institutions engage in the qualitative dividing of people by race and ethnicity, haven't we? You might just say that's the first step to making ideas become in vogue. It's not a one-off column at Teen Vogue, by the way. They have articles praising Vladimir Lenin. They have articles arguing for the abolition of the police. Now, in case you thought Teen Vogue was alone, and I'm just picking on them, it's not. There's something that reaches even more children, the Cartoon Network. And they've partnered with the National Black Justice Coalition to help instruct children not on matters of race, per se, but on their own gender. I was going to say sexuality, which would be bad enough, but they go further, gender. In fact, here's a tweet from the Cartoon Network, over 1.5 million followers on Twitter, by the way, quote, here's to not only normalizing gender pronouns, but respecting them too. Whether you use he, she, them, or something else, we acknowledge and love you, close quote. By the way, again, that's for an audience a bit younger than preteens. Cartoons are for children half that age. And by the way, in case you wanted to forgive the Cartoon Network for partnering with an anodyne-sounding organization like the National Black Justice Coalition, you should know it's an organization devoted to and dedicated to, as they tell us, serving primarily lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender LGBT people. And by the way, the Cartoon Network tweets links to something called the Gender Justice Toolkit. Ironically enough, if you go to that publication, it opens up with an encouraging quote from Malcolm X. Now, Malcolm X was many things. A supporter of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender lifestyles was not one of them. Indeed, the Nation of Islam is identified by nearly every left-wing civil rights watchdog group, from the Anti-Defamation League to the Southern Poverty Law Center, as one of the most anti-LGBTQ organizations in the country. Never mind any of that, so too is Hamas, that our youth want to see victorious. They go one better than the Nation of Islam. They don't frown upon or condemn LGBTQ rights. They literally kill their practitioners. But the irony and misdirection from the Gender Justice Toolkit the Cartoon Network links to is not the essence of the problem, nor is the woke young adult population that loves Hamas and LGBTQ rights all the same. The essence of the problem is that we are instructing our youth in rot and danger and self-destruction. And we call it growth and progressive and self-actualization. How did Emerson put it? The corruption of man is followed by the corruption of language. One might say history, too. Marx is dead corporeally. I wish his ideas were dead as well. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show, coming to you live from the 960 Patriot Broadcast Studios, which is brought to you by the veteran-owned Midas Gold Group, your trusted source for precious metals. The big story today is, as we predicted yesterday with a caller, the judge's order in the Georgia prosecution, the Georgia Fulton County prosecution against Donald Trump and 18 co-defendants. District Attorney Fani Willis, the judge said, had a choice. She could continue to prosecute the case, but only if she sought the resignation or firing of the special assistant district attorney, her paramour, Nathan Wade. Nathan Wade has since resigned. Judge Scott McAfee, I'll just read you the NBC report on it, ruled in Georgia that Fulton County DA Fani Willis and her office can continue prosecuting Donald Trump and his co-defendants if Nathan Wade steps down. In his Friday ruling, McAfee wrote that the defense had failed to meet its burden, proving that Willis acquired an actual conflict of interest in this case, though her personal relationship and recurring travels with her lead prosecutor led to an appearance of conflict. A significant appearance of impropriety that infects the current structure of the prosecution team, he wrote. That's pretty strong language. He had other strong language in his decision. He said an odor of mendacity remains due to the district attorney's testimony and actions. Mendacity is trickery or lying. An odor of lying. Odor. It infects the team of the prosecution. It's pretty strong stuff. I know a lot of people are thinking, well, the whole thing should have been thrown out. She should have been thrown out. It wouldn't have happened that way. But it's likely the Trump team will appeal it. But it's a scandal for Fani Willis, because she is going to now be facing a lot of problems in this case. One is, you have a judge who clearly just no longer trusts the district attorney. A judge, by the way, who not only criticized her for the appearances of improprieties and for her mendacious statements on the stand when she took to the stand on her own defense, but also critical of her speech outside the courtroom and outside of her office, where she went to that church and blasted the case against her as being one of racism. The judge had no patience for that either. This was a smackdown. And I understand, again, not everyone is happy that she still gets to continue in her job. She may not for long. She'll be probably brought up in front of the bar. She'll probably see some tough repercussions if the Trump team appeals, which I'm guessing they will, just guessing. And she's going to have a hard time if she continues onward with this case in finding another special prosecutor. It cannot be her. The judge doesn't trust her. And what special prosecutor would want to go to work for her at this point? What special prosecutor would want to handle this dog of a case? That's what you call a case when it's just a bad case. You call it a dog of a case. It's an insult to dogs, however. Anyway, that's the big story, you would think, but not if you go to CNN. It's the big story everywhere else, but not over at CNN. I'm always fascinated how CNN handles these stories, and I can always tell whether a story is good or bad for Republicans on the way CNN highlights it or doesn't. And CNN ain't highlighting it. What's the biggest news in the day to them? I'll tell you, it's not that big of a deal to me. Maybe I'm wrong. The biggest deal to them is Mike Pence says he cannot endorse Donald Trump. Okay, I mean, it's a bit of a story. Was it the same story when Al Gore wouldn't endorse Joe Lieberman? I mean, they were running mates. I get it. It wasn't president, vice president, but they were trying to be. I don't think it was that big of a story. And I don't think that many people think about Mike Pence. I'm a Pence fan, happen to be a Pence fan generally, except for, you know, the unnecessary critiques and criticisms that he bruited about during the campaign. But I think he's a solid and respectable man and conservative generally. And I hope he gets over this. I hope he gets over this, for this is not the time for petty differences. If you care about the party, if you care more importantly about the country, as a good conservative like Mike Pence should, then you have to understand that there is no choice but to support the Republican candidate. I would support the Republican candidate if it were Nikki Haley. I would support the Republican candidate if it were Chris Christie. Up against this socialism? You bet. This is what Barry Goldwater instructed us to do. And it's not because he instructed us that I say that, but because he was right. I'll take a 70% loaf over zero. I'll take an 80% loaf over zero. I'll take a 90% loaf over zero. And it's worse and less than zero. It's not a blueprint for socialism we're fighting against, as Barry Goldwater said. It is kinetic and active. Immanuel Kant. They make you read Immanuel Kant in philosophy, young David?
I went to Christian philosophy.
Immanuel Kant, he would be covered under that, I think. He said if you will the ends, you have to will the means. You cannot, better put, you cannot will the ends without willing the means. If you want a Republican to win, you've got to do everything you can to get the Republican candidate to win.
Well, that brings up my question.
Yes,
right?
Sir.
If he says, I will never vote for Joe Biden. He says, I could never vote for Joe Biden.
Yeah.
Then what is he going to do? Is he not going to vote?
Right.
Is he going to vote third party? Is he going to vote Kennedy or something?
Well, he was asked. He was asked if he would run third party. And he said,
I saw that. Yeah, he said he wouldn't.
Right. He said, I'm a Republican.
But I feel like it is a worse crime to not be civically involved and not vote in the presidential election and leave it to your fellow man than to grin and bear it and pull the lever next to Donald Trump's name.
Of course you're
because
right.
Because if he's going to sit here and say that he's not going to vote for President Trump in November, then he better be quiet for the next 4 years.
Of course you're right. Of course you're right. And I don't think it's an accurate quote, actually. I don't think it's an accurate attribution. But John Kennedy famously quoted Dante saying, you know the quote I'm about to use? The hottest places in hell are reserved for those who in times of great moral crisis maintain their neutrality. That's another way of saying what you said. Mm-hmm. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. I'm just hungry listening to that song, Cheeseburger in Paradise. Welcome back, 602-508-0960.
You get hungry listening about carrot juice?
What's the name of the song, Young David?
Yeah, Cheeseburger in Paradise, but he didn't get there yet.
It's all food.
It's all food.
All food. It's juice spill. It's not food.
It was once food turned into juice.
Yeah, something like that.
Remember me?
No.
Okay. Coming to you live from the 960 Patriot Broadcast Studio, which is brought to you by our good friends at the veteran-owned Midas Gold Group. Your trusted source for precious metals. Our friend and dear close listener, Steve, found the actual quote from Dante John Kennedy had based his line on. And it is close. I got the Kennedy quote right, and it's perhaps more poetic. I don't know. What Dante actually wrote was in the Inferno was the miserable ways taken by the sorry souls of those who lived without disgrace and without praise. They now commingle with the coward angels, the company of those who were not rebels nor faithful to their God, but stood apart. Do you like that one better, or do you like the hottest places in hell are reserved for those who in times of great moral crisis maintain their neutrality? What do you like better, Mr. Bill? You have a good keen ear.
Yeah, they're both pretty good. The second one's easier to remember.
They're both pretty good. Kennedy, Dante, you know, that's all right. They're pretty good. Is this the segment where we tell everyone what we learned this week?
Might as well. I don't learn anything on this show.
Okay. Thanks. Mr. Bill, what did you learn this week?
Well, I've learned that when it rains, the weeds pop up in your yard.
That's what you learned?
I root for dry conditions.
You're rooting for the dry conditions?
I root for drought.
Okay. That kind of
that one didn't have a lot of legs to it.
Yeah, I think we kind of hit a wall with this week's installment of What Did I Learn This Week.
Oh, fine. I'll give you something.
You learned how to make a chicken Kiev. You put up another great video.
Yes, I put up a video on chicken Kiev, and I learned that it takes hours. Because, first of all, I didn't realize that you have to cook that from frozen. So I make my butter, I freeze the butter, and then I wrap the chicken around it and pound it out, and then I have to freeze that. Because when you're deep frying it, the butter still has to stay solid on the inside.
Well, you have these wonderful cooking videos that you can get on Instagram. You want to say
Sure.
On the call with Dahl.
Answer
the call with Dahl. Answer the call with Dahl.
Yeah, on the call with Dahl would be like a police report.
On the call with Dahl.
On the beat.
I'll tell you what I learned this week. The Atlantic Monthly, which I usually don't cite to very much, has a great thing that they posted, which is the Great American Novels. And it lists all the great American novels.
Oh, really?
Yeah, with little squibs by other famous writers about them. And, of course, the first one is my favorite one, The Great Gatsby. But it has F. Scott Fitzgerald. It has Gertrude Stein. It has Ernest Hemingway. It has Theodore Dreiser. I was telling my friend Tevi Troy, a book reviewer in his own right, about this. And he said, is it all woke stuff? I said, that's the blessing. It's not. It's got John Dos Passos. It's got Raymond Chandler, The Big Sleep. Is that what you're reading right now?
Yes. What am I, top five?
In The Big Sleep, Chandler introduced the world to Philip Marlowe, the hard-boiled, incorruptible private detective who he would feature in a series of novels and stories. What chance did anyone have? It was as if Rembrandt had inked comic books or Rodin had sculpted sex dolls. Chandler, a writer who could somehow dazzle while describing a bougainvillea in Los Angeles streetscape, placed an impossible-to-dislike protagonist in intricate plots with drawn-out mysteries, surprise twists, seductive dames, and enough corpses to keep the mortician's wife in mink. The voice that croaks to life in The Big Sleep would be imitated many times over, but this was the book that first exposed readers to that combination of cynicism and wit. With time and a big enough magnifying glass, you might spot an inconsequential loose end, but no matter. Chandler would be worth reading even if the plots were nonsense. For mood, for character, for sentence-by-sentence quality, and most of all for the lines, here's one to whet your appetite. Dead men are heavier than broken hearts. How do you do? Is that a pretty good synopsis?
It's great.
Yeah.
So I made the top five.
No, but you made the top 10.
Hey, how about that?
Yeah. Well, welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show, 602-508-0960, March 26th. It's coming up. Mike Gallagher, Brandon Tatum, myself, other special guests will be on stage at Arizona Christian University talking about the issues that we think are the most important in this election, how to think about them, how to convince others to think about them the way we think about them. And we'll be hearing from you as well. We're keeping it, as we like to, deliberately intimate so that we can maximize interaction. You can get tickets at 960thepatriot.com. 960thepatriot.com. Thanks to our friends at YRefi. They have underwritten a substantial portion of the general admission price, so we've reduced the price for you that way. Thanks to YRefi. There are still VIP tickets available. 960thepatriot.com to get your tickets. And I look forward. I expect to see you there. Yes, young David. Anything else? No.
No.
Good. Well, this is embarrassing. Biden endorses Chuck Schumer's attack on his... Joe Biden was meeting one-on-one with the Irish Prime Minister today, and he had a picture of the Prime Minister on a card in his hand with his name on it. So he would know who it was he was standing or sitting right next to and having a, you know, head of state meeting next to a head of state meeting with. This is the Joe Biden that supposedly all the Democrats, wanted to contradict Robert Herr's position on findings on with regard to his agedness, his senescence. Democrats' animadversions to the contrary notwithstanding, Joe Biden needed the card of the man he was sitting next to with his picture on it, the Irish prime minister. In any event, this is equally embarrassing, as John Hinderacher writes it up. Chuck Schumer took the Senate floor to deliver a ringing condemnation of Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, of Israel's conduct in its war against Hamas. Schumer's speech represented a naked effort to interfere in Israeli politics by seeking to overturn that country's government. Today, a reporter asked Joe Biden about Schumer's speech. Biden endorsed it. He said Biden hailed Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer on Friday, according to the AP, for calling on Israel to have a new election as soon as possible, with Biden telling reporters the Brooklyn Democrat made a quote-unquote good speech. And then Joe Biden said this, and I bet he wasn't supposed to. But that's what happens with this president. He said, quote, Senator Schumer contacted my staff, my senior staffer, that he was going to make that speech, close quote. He said that in an Oval Office meeting with Irish Prime Minister Leo Varadkar. I'm not going to elaborate on the speech, added the president. He made a good speech, and I think he expressed serious concerns shared not only by him but by many Americans. So Schumer's attack on Israel was coordinated in advance with the White House. That's what we learned today. Do you think Joe Biden or Chuck Schumer wanted Joe Biden to say that? Do you think Joe Biden's staff or Chuck Schumer's staff? Maybe. Maybe. I doubt it. It's no surprise. Oh, there, of course, the Democratic Party is pretty united on this front. But it's good to see Biden clarify the administration's position. As Dennis Prager likes to say, we'll take clarity over agreement. And every day the Democrats give us more and more clarity on who they are. That does raise, as I said in my monologue, as it does with supporters of Karl Marx, at what point do you take them for their word? When someone tells you who they are, when something tells you what it is, why do we cease? Why do we not believe them? Really, why do we not? What is this romantic, regnant romantic imagery of a party that has so far lost its moorings that it would be unrecognizable by the son of a man who ran for it in its heyday and the nephew of the son who was the president of it in its heyday in the 60s? It's unrecognizable. That's what Robert Kennedy Jr. says. Unrecognizable, the Democratic Party. I think there is a romanticism built not on the Democratic Party of yore or its principles of yore. I think it's based on the fear of the right and the fear of conservatism and the fear of Republicans. And I think that not only because I hear it every day and read about it every day, but that's clearly the campaign theme from Joe Biden's. Here's a test, Mr. Bill, young David. Here's a test. Joe Biden gave a State of the Union address last week. It is traditional that when the president gives a State of the Union in an election year, he's going to outline many of the themes that will be in his election, that he'll be running on for his reelection. What theme do you remember? What policy proposal? What do you remember from Joe Biden's State of the Union last week? As I said, it would be forgotten unless I'm wrong. Do you guys remember any other themes other than the fear of the Republican Party? This is all they have. Did you know this? This is how weak they are. I don't think I mentioned this on air. I kept meaning to. You know, a week ago, Kamala Harris was here, young David, the vice president, your vice president.
Yes, I know who the vice president is.
She had a meeting and a speech in front of hundreds of Democrats here in Phoenix. You know who wasn't among them? Katie Hobbs, the governor of Arizona, Chris Mays, the attorney general of Arizona, and Ruben Gallego, probably the three most important Democrats in Arizona, two of which are part of the whole Democratic Party sisterhood. Their excuses were rather lame. Katie Hobbs said she has, you know, scheduling conflicts all the time. She doesn't know what's on her schedule day to day. I think vice president coming to town might take precedence on that. Chris May said she had to take her daughter to the airport. Yeah, even that got you laughing. Did I get a carrot snarf out of you on that one, Mr. Bill? Pretty close. Had to take my daughter to the airport. Is that as good as or worse than, I'm sorry, I had to do laundry? It's pretty close, though. I mean, obviously, a daughter is special.
Got to go return some videotapes.
Huh?
Got to return some videotapes.
I mean, it's endearing that you take your daughter. But the vice president and Ruben Gallego said he had to work on legislation. The vice president, your party, in an election year, you don't want to be seen with her. And you're not afraid of her. Because, boy, I'll tell you what, you know darned well Kamala Harris took note that they were nowhere to be found for her arrival. I think it's interesting. And I think it's telling. And I think this party has a lot of problems, which is why their whole campaign is just based on fear, hate, fear and hate. I'm Seth Leibson. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show, portions of which are brought to you by our good friends at YRefi. YRefi offers a secure investment in a collateralized portfolio that really invests flexibility and control with and in you. You can turn your income on or off, compound it, whatever you like with YRefi. With YRefi, there are absolutely no fees. With YRefi, you get peace of mind. There's no attack on principal if you ever need your money back, and you get a monthly statement with no surprises in this secure and collateralized portfolio offered up by YRefi. Best of all, you can earn up to a 10.25% fixed rate of return, and it's not correlated to the stock market or the Federal Reserve. Check them out at investyrefi.com. That's invest, the letter Y, then R-E-F-Y.com, or give them a call at 888-YRefi-24, 888-YRefi-24. I lost my clock. How much time do I have here, young David?
Oh, we've got about 2 minutes and 40 seconds.
Okay, good. And it's nice to see Craig and some guests coming in. Welcome, guests. Good to see you. What was this silliness you were telling me on the break? Chicken Kiev is not Russian or something?
Goodness gracious. All right. What I was saying is Chicken Kiev is not Russian. I guess I have to make an addendum to what I learned this week, and that would be the fact that Chicken Kiev is not Ukrainian. As the name would suggest, it's Russian.
They call it Cotel de Villel, a poultry chop, but I think it might even be French.
I did do some research. Yes, there was a French chef that perhaps invented it in Imperial Russia.
Yeah, the whole thing is actually a...
But it has nothing to do with Kiev.
No, did they change the name? Is it now Kiev too? Is it now called Chicken Kiev instead of Chicken Kiev?
Only in supermarkets in Britain.
Is that right?
Yes.
All right, well
Marks and Spencer's, yes.
All right. We're going to cover the news pretty heavily with Ed Morrissey from Hot Air. We'll have Pinkhouse Solution, our third hour. And we want to mention again our tickets at 960thepatriot.com for our March 26th event. We're bringing in Mike Gallagher, Brandon Tatum, and myself. We'll all be on stage at Arizona Christian University talking about the issues in this election. And we thank YRefi again, who I had mentioned earlier, for helping to underwrite that. Mike Gallagher's always so great to have out here. And I haven't seen Brandon Tatum in a while. It's been too long since we last saw him.
Since our last event.
And I think it will be some of those issues we were talking about yesterday. And Brandon Tatum is certainly an expert on the crime issue, as he is on so many others. And so there. That's it. That's the end of the first hour. We made it through. We made it through the week. And Ed Morrissey from Hot Air.
Where to go,
right,
baby?
Huh? Yes. Thank you.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
with in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.